You are listening to a sermon by Beth Stovall, recorded on Sunday, July 20th, 2025, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pjmf.org.
Well, hi, everybody. I'm really honored to get to be with you today. I'm thankful that Rosie invited me. Rosie and I actually did our master's degrees together at Regent College, and so we've known each other for the better part of two decades. So I was really honored to get to join you guys and share with you. Today, I'm going to be speaking about Isaiah 42, particularly verses 13 to 14, but we'll talk about that bigger context as well. And specifically these two metaphors that describe God, God as warrior and God as mother. Now, I mean, I immediately sure when you guys saw the title for this, God as a loving warrior, you probably had pause to say, Beth, a loving warrior, really? But we're gonna talk about these two images, these two metaphors. While they're complicated in their own ways, I'm hoping that by the end of this little talk, you will find hope in both of these images, as we think about Isaiah 42 in its context originally, and how the New Testament uses these metaphors to speak about Jesus. Now, it might seem strange to us that Isaiah 42, 13 to 14 puts a metaphor about God being a warrior right next to a woman who's giving birth. But in the ancient world, actually, these metaphors were connected to each other in the way that the people thought, through the idea that both the warrior and this birthing mother are in crisis. So a warrior was the closest to possible death when he was in battle. And the outcomes were either he would have victory or he would die. And a woman in the ancient world was the closest to possible death when she was birthing. And for her, the outcomes were either new life or death. And so we can see that there's this parallel between these two figures that we might not normally think of. And I can say as a mom of three teenagers, two of whom have recently become adults, that I can tell you that crisis isn't something that mothers face only during birth, but throughout their kids' lives. Recently, my husband, John, and I were away for a work vacation kind of time in England for 2 weeks. And our two 18-year-olds were put in care of each other, to take care of each other, and our 15-year-old. And while overall they did a great job taking care of each other, they still needed their mom when crisis hit. So with the time change, I was up at 4 or 5 in the morning with phone calls to be a shoulder to cry on, to help them think through difficult issues, and just to remind them that they're loved, even when we were at a distance. So whether we're talking about the initial act of birth itself, or the continuing work of motherhood, mothers are showing bravery and strength as they care for their children in times of crisis. And this is part of why I really love how Isaiah 42 pictures God like a mother. But Isaiah 42 also puts this image alongside one that can be very challenging. God is like a warrior. Now, I personally have struggled with this image. Part of my research as a biblical scholar has been trying to make sense of how we interpret this image of God as warrior in light of who Jesus is. And for me, this is personal in a way that the motherhood image is also personal. So I'm originally from the US, thus my doing some of my studies in Texas. That was before 20 years in Canada. So now I'm like half American, half Canadian, something like that. But my dad was in the US Air Force before I was born. He was severely injured in an accident and part of his role in the military, and he became a disabled veteran just a few months before I was born. And so my dad's experiences in the military changed his view of war. And he became a pacifist after his injury, and that also allowed him to leave the service. So as my dad was my earliest Bible teacher, I grew up with the idea of Jesus's love for enemies being the lens that we use to read passages in the Old Testament about war, and particularly about God as a warrior. And so what I want to do today is to approach reading Isaiah 42, 13, and 14 in two ways. So first, The first way is to try and read Isaiah 42 in its original context and see how this helps us better understand these two images of God as warrior and as mother. And then the second is we're going to read these same images of God as warrior and mother as they show up in John's gospel when he talks about Jesus. And this second step, I think, will help us interpret these metaphors in new ways in light of Jesus. So let's start with the first way. We begin with the historical context of Isaiah 42. So I'm really happy we read that first section of Isaiah 42 because it gives us a really good broader space for what's going on in the passage. Two chapters before this in Isaiah 40, Isaiah has changed his target audience. So when you read Isaiah, the first 39 chapters, 1 to 39, speak to the Israelites leading up to the Assyrian invasion. And this is around the 700s BCE. But when we get to Isaiah 40, something happens, a change happens in the text. And the target audience seems to be those who are already in exile and have been there for a long period of time. There's a, and this was likely during the Babylonian exile, during the 500s BCE, around 200 years later. So why does this timing matter? Well, the primary message in Isaiah 1 to 39 is about warning, all the things that Israel is doing wrong, leading up to this Assyrian invasion. Whereas starting in Isaiah 40, God speaks of wanting to bring comfort to his people because of all the pain they've experienced in exile. God's focus is on renewal and restoration of his people. And so in Isaiah 40 to 55, God speaks of a servant who will come on God's behalf to experience the people's pain, to endure that pain for them and restore them. And I'm sure many of you from around Christmas time in our readings of Isaiah 55 and the suffering servant may recognize those passages. Amongst the earliest of those passages is this servant who's described in Isaiah 42 that we heard at the beginning of the Isaiah 42 passage. And as we can see in our reading, Isaiah repeatedly emphasizes how God will bring justice through his servant. While the servant is connected to those who are bruised and weak, like a faint candle that God will make sure it doesn't go out, God will use this servant to bring justice to the nations and justice to the whole earth. And even to the farthest out spaces, often referred to as the islands in Isaiah, they will find hope through the servant's teachings. And this picture of the hopeful servant who comes in weakness, but is granted strength by God, is followed later in Isaiah 42 with these two images of God as warrior and God as mother. And thus, when we read these two metaphors, they're already shaped by God's desire to bring justice, to bring hope. And so in this passage, God's work is not about violence. It's about transformation and hope. So let's look specifically at these two verses. When we read Isaiah 42, 13 to 14, in light of this, it helps us to better understand what's going on. So Isaiah describes the Lord this way. The Lord will march out like a champion, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. So it's important to read this in the context of Babylon. Babylon is this huge and very powerful empire compared to Israel, who is tiny and weak and doesn't stand any kind of chance if they're trying to fight against Babylon. They already tried. They failed. The only way for them to experience freedom from their captivity and to experience justice from this brutal way that Babylon has hurt them is for God to be their champion and to triumph over Babylon. Notably in history, the way this happens is by the Persians conquering Babylon. And this allowed Israel to return to their lands. God was like a warrior for them, allowing them to be freed. But let's notice that language in Isaiah 42:13, how the warrior shouts and raises his battle cry. These two descriptions of the warrior crying out are important for how Isaiah then connects this to the picture of God as a woman in labor. And so let's go to 14. For a long time, I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry, I gasp and pant. And we can notice a few things. First, if we start thinking all the way back to the first verses of Isaiah 42, we notice similar language. God is similar to the servant who keeps silent, who holds himself back in quietness. But then God shifts to, but now. God is going to do a new thing. God is active. And this activity is like a mother who is giving birth. Like God, who is a warrior who shouts and cries out in battle, God as a birthing mother cries out, gasps, and pants because of her pain in childbirth. And if we kept reading in this section, we would see the ways this leads to this crisis leads to transformation. These two images of God, like a warrior and like a woman in birth, are drawn together by the sounds that each of them make and by the courage to face the crisis. Isaiah 42 isn't only the only place where these two metaphors work together. So if you read a lot of ancient Near Eastern literature all around the time of the Old Testament, these two images are next to each other across the Old Testament itself, and even in some of those Dead Sea Scrolls, we find these two images next to each other. God's work as mother is what we see in the rest. So if we kept reading Isaiah 42, we would see how God draws the people out of this crisis and moves them toward restoration. The people have not been able to see, and now they're going to see. The darkness will be turned into light. Their paths will be made smooth. And we see this in verse 16. Thus, God's work as warrior sets up how God will bring justice, and God's work as mother shows comfort and light he will give them. And when you place these two metaphors next to each other, we see the way that having the mother alongside the warrior shows the strength of birthing mothers and transforms the warrior image into one that's aimed towards justice and comfort rather than towards violence. So let's look at how this transitions when we look at the New Testament. This shift from violence to hope arises again in these same metaphors when we look at the picture of Jesus. Like God in the Old Testament, the New Testament describes Jesus as like a warrior and like a birthing mother. And these are particularly important in John's gospel. So in John 12, 12 to 19, it tells the story of Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem and he's riding on a young donkey. So it was common for kings and victorious warriors to ride into Jerusalem on these big old war horses. And all of the elite of the city, the council, the priests, the governmental people would all go and meet the incoming warrior king with waving branches, palm branches at the arrival of them. So Jesus is pictured like a warrior king here in John, complete with the cries of Jesus as King of Israel. And John tells us that this is as it was written in Zechariah 9:9. Don't be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming seated on a donkey's colt. So while this may seem like a triumphant event that might reinforce some emphasis on war and war heroes and then connect it to Jesus, John, the author of the gospel, is careful to show us that this entry actually subverts those usual pictures of war celebration. Instead of the highest officials and priests welcoming Jesus into the city, it's the people. It's the crowd. And in fact, the Pharisees comment on how big a problem it is that these crowds are doing this, and the Pharisees aren't joining in on those festivities. Also, Jesus doesn't come on a big giant war horse. He comes on a little young donkey, which emphasizes his humility. Jesus is the warrior king, but the one who overturns the practices of violence and power through his humility, through his path of nonviolence. And thus, God as warrior in light of Jesus subverts, transforms these practices of violence and imperial force to bring hope and peace. In a similar way, Jesus uses the comparison to a woman giving birth, but as a way of speaking of his death and resurrection in John 16, 20 to 21. So Jesus says this, "Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world." Jesus compares his death and the pain and grief that the disciples are experiencing, and then sets that in comparison to this absolute joy that they will experience in his resurrection. And he compares that to the pain of a mother in the midst of her labor and then the joy of seeing her child's birth. In doing so, Jesus has transformed this mothering image to point out how God will bring hope out of suffering because of the way he gives new life. And so when we look at how God as warrior and God as mother come together, as metaphors to describe God, when we do this in light of Jesus, we see hope for our lives today. God is overturning the practices of violence and transforming the world towards restoration, renewal, and peace. Are you or is someone that you love experiencing injustice? God longs to bring justice as he did with his servant in Isaiah 42. Are you struggling with a crisis? Are you dealing with pain or experiencing grief? God wants to come into your pain and suffering and bring you hope for restoration and renewal. He wants to bring comfort like a mother holding her newborn child. This is the character of God seen through the life of Jesus. He comes in weakness and grants strength. He comes into the spaces where we might feel the most abandoned and gives us hope. I pray that God will bring you hope through his presence with you today and in the days and years to come.